First Chronicles. We'll get to chapter 29 here in a second. First Chronicles chapter 29. Last week, we listened as David wrote a praise to God seen in Psalm 107. Now, y'all hold on with me because I'm going to go around a couple corners and around a couple bends, but I'm going to bring it back together, so y'all stay with me. We looked and saw as David wrote Psalm 107. As you know, David is not one who was always heard praising the Lord. Oftentimes in Scripture, you would hear him crying over circumstances, or over this circumstances or that circumstances. And a lot of times there were circumstances that he himself had allowed to happen. Or he was where he was because decisions he made. Those are the ones that just drive me absolutely bonkers. People whine and complain about God over circumstances they've put themselves into. Just doesn't make sense to me. But last week we found David in a good place. A place where all of us should be when we realize what we really have and where and what we really came from. And that's God. We have no real way to know exactly when it was that King David wrote Psalm 107. We know that it was later on in his life, and we can even possibly speculate that he may have written it sometime or written it when something very significant was taking place. It could very well be that David wrote Psalm 107 around the time period of 1 Chronicles chapter 29 is speaking of this morning. So let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 1 through 9 this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 1 through 9. Something very unusual is taking place. As we get to chapter 29 in 1 Chronicles, it has come to the mind of David that everybody has these spectacular houses. The kingdom is supplied. There is only one individual in the kingdom who has not been a house or a structure built for. You know who that was? The Lord. And it came into his mind, and he went into the presence of God, and he petitioned God, says, God, I want to do this for you. And God said no. Why did God say no? Because he had too much blood on his hands. He said, it's not going to happen. You're not going to do it. Your son is going to do it. Solomon is going to do it. And David accepted that. But we see David doing something, preparing for the temple to be built. So that's where we find ourselves in chapter 29, verse 1. Then King David said to all of the assembly, my son Solomon, God has chosen him alone. He is young and is inexperienced. The task is great, for the temple will not be for man, but for our Lord God. So the best of my ability, I've made provision for the house of my God. Gold for the gold of articles, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, and iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx, stones for mounting, stones for various colors of all of precious stones, and a great quantity of marble. Moreover, because of my delight in the house of my God, I now give my personal treasuries of gold and silver for the house of God over and above all that I've provided for the holy house. Now listen, he gave 100 tons of gold of Ophir, and 250 tons of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the buildings. The gold for the gold, the work of the silver, for the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who will volunteer to consecrate himself to the Lord today? Then the leaders of the households, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of the thousands and the hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave complainingly, hesitantly, stingily. Is that what it says? This scripture says gave willingly. For the service of God's house, they gave 125 tons of gold and 10,000 gold drachmas, 375 tons of silver, 675 tons of bronze, 4,000 tons of iron. Whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the Lord's house under the care of Jehiel, the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced because their leader's willingness to give. For they had given to the Lord with a whole heart. King David also rejoiced greatly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins. Ask you to forgive us where we fail you. Lord, I pray that you would hush our minds and our hearts right now. I pray that you would just ease us, help us, Lord, to be attentive to your word. God, I pray that you would be with me and help me to preach this message as a dying man to a dying world, to a dying people who live in a dying world this morning. God, help us to rejoice in your name and who you are and what you're doing with us, in us, through us, and for us. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Church, this morning, I want us to consider what people give when they're thankful. So last week we saw that David finally was thankful. He had gone through a period of time in his life, and he was not thankful. He complained oftentimes, many times, as we do. You know, why am I here? Has God put me in this circumstance? And as we said at least two or three times, many of the circumstances David found himself were circumstances of his own doing. He knew what God told him to do, and he went the absolute opposite direction, and he found himself in a time of peril, and he pointed the finger at God, and God says, I'm not having any of it. I told you not to do that. We as Christians can do that as well, can't we? We want to look at the Word of God and sing praises unto God and say, oh, how holy is the Word of God and how holy is God. But when it comes down to doing what we ought to do, oftentimes we don't do what we ought to do, what the Word of God tells us to do, and then we point our finger at God and thumb our nose at Him and say, God, why have you done this to me? And He's saying the same thing He told David. I had nothing to do with this. The Word of God is very clear, and you went against the Word of God. Church, listen. This morning, we are in the Old Testament, and there are times where people say, I just don't see where the Old Testament is relevant. I hope that you can see yourself this morning, because I sure saw mine. Now, the question again is the sermon title this morning is this: what people give when they're thankful? Now, if I did a poll this morning, and I said this morning, don't raise your hand. If I did a poll, I said, how many of y'all are thankful for what God has done and is doing in your life? I imagine everybody in here, oh yeah, oh how I love Jesus, oh yes, kumbaya. I mean, you would raise your hand. I'm so thankful. But are your actions representing that you are truly thankful? Because your actions will show whether you're truly thankful or not. Now, I want you to understand and see something. What people give when they are not thankful. Now, we're going to get to the thankful part, but I want you to see what people give when they're not thankful first, because it'll help us to understand better the thankful part of it. This morning, I want to be as real as I possibly can. I want to try to be my very best to show you exactly how we as humans respond when a need arises or someone asks for the smallest of favors. Now, I'll tell you that I myself have found myself being the person that I'm about to speak of. And at times, I have been ashamed for being the person that I'm getting ready to speak of. What does a person who's not thankful act like? I'm telling you, Cynthia, listen to me. I've been this person. I've been a person who says they're thankful, but my actions hadn't shown it, Bill. Listen, this is what they look like. When we are asked to give anything, you know, we've got the Samaritan purse shoe boxes here in a couple weeks. We had the offering just a few minutes ago. A couple weeks ago, we had the trunk or treat. Anything. When we're asked to give anything, and I mean anything, we have a natural built-in response that takes place within our mind that is almost uncontrollable. And listen, it really happens with your children. When your children look at you and say, Dad, I love you, you're just like, oh, gosh. And Gary, then they say this. They'll say, I have a favor to ask. The wheels already start turning. The natural response is starting to kick in. Justin's over there. He's like, oh, Lord, take notes because it's getting ready to happen. I'm telling you. And this is what happens. This is what happens. It's almost uncontrollable. A process starts in our minds that is not easily turned off. When someone asks us for anything, the first thing that happens is we ask ourselves, do I have time? Because we're controlled by time. It doesn't matter what anybody asks you. It can be the sick. Can I borrow a pencil? Well, I don't know if I have time to let you borrow a pencil or not. That's what we do. Hey, can you give me a ride to the store? Well, I don't know whether I have time to give you a ride to the store. Time is the biggest factor. Everything is stipulated and manipulated by this time factor. And listen, what we ought to do is give God more of our time and less of our time. In the grand scheme of things, as we look at our schedules on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis, the person who should be getting the most of our time is the person that means the most to us. Or old me. God should be getting the most of our times. And listen, just like the end of this chat or the end of this scripture and verse, listen, we ought to rejoice in giving God that time. But we're not. So we ask ourselves first, do I have time to do this? If that criteria is met, we then ask ourselves, is this a worthy endeavor of my time? Do I have time to give you a pencil? Are you worthy for me to give you a pencil? Listen, if those two criteria are met, we then move to phase two. We ask ourselves if the person who is asking us is worthy of our help, and we qualify that question by asking, what have they ever done for me? That's what we do. Do I have time? Do I have time for this? Are they worthy of this task? Listen, but it gets better. Then we ask ourselves, what is in it for me? What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of what they are asking me to give? Church, this is a natural response of an unthankful heart to ask the question, what is in it for me? But we do, don't we? We weigh everything out before we give a response. There's very few times when somebody asks us of anything. This is what we do. We try to act real spiritual, Mr. Hallman. You know what we do? If somebody asks us for something, you know what we tell them initially? Let me pray about it. Let me pray about it. Listen, Scripture says that if somebody comes to you and you have it in your possession to give and to bless somebody with, you're to give it. Because God blesses you that you might be a blessing unto others, not a blessing unto yourself. Amen? Really? We forget. Now, church, listen. If your giving to others has to go through this process, and I've told y'all, I'm ashamed. It's worked to me before, that I just mentioned. If you have to get something out of the deal before you act, if you have to be seen or heard telling others about what you have done, and you can bet your last dollar that what you did for self-gratification and not for the Lord, not for being thankful to God. God, I'm so thankful for what you've done for me. Your actions just show that you don't. You're not thankful. Listen, if you're not willing to quietly help others at their point of need with absolutely nothing in return, listen, even considering that what you're about to do will cost you something. Man, it's going to cost me something. If it doesn't bother you, listen, then you are not giving with a heart full of thanksgiving. Church, we need to hear this. Do you want to walk a closer walk with the Lord? We need to hear. Listen, I needed to hear this. Now, I don't know if those words I just spoke to your heart. I don't. I don't know if those words ripped your heart apart the way they did me. But the fact remains that a thankful heart gives in ways that do not make sense. They don't. When a thankful heart gives to others, it does not make sense. Does it make sense that God continues to bless you? Listen, if you were God, would you continue to bless you, acting the way that you act and giving God the time that you actually give? Would you bless you? I wouldn't bless me. Listen, to be honest here, the more it does not make sense, the more it is going to cost you are factors that you almost guarantee come from God and not from yourself. Church, God is going to ask you to do something uncomfortable and things to see if you're willing to be a blessing to others. God wants to see if you are willing to be a blessing and bless others the very way He has blessed you. It's almost like you're being tested the way Abraham is in the book of Genesis we're studying on Sunday night that everybody's invited to come to. Everybody. Listen, right, this is your personal invitation. I am extending to you to come back to give God some time to learn more about Him tonight in the book of Genesis. Wednesday night, we're studying the most important person in the world. We're studying the life of Christ step by step. We're breaking it apart piece by piece. And you're invited. How much of your time are you giving to the Lord? Now, we've seen how it is a person gives that does not have a thankful heart. They may say they are thankful, but their actions prove otherwise. That they may sing songs of thanksgiving every time they come in the church doors. And they may tell the Lord in their prayers that they are so thankful to Him for all that He has done in their lives. But as the book of James tells us, our actions tell us the truth of who we really are. Your actions show the world and yourself and God who you really are. Now, what happens when a person has a thankful heart? We just looked at what a person looks like when they have an unthankful heart. They even might think they have a thankful heart, but they really don't. Their actions show who they really are. What happens when a person has a thankful heart? Let me just ask you, do you want to have a thankful heart? I mean, we tell the Lord, Lord, I thank you so much for, but I mean, our actions show up. Do you want a truly thankful heart? If you do, pay attention. I'm not going to keep you much longer. Listen. Now, church, understand. Please understand. These people that I'm about to explain are a rare breed. They're a very rare breed. If American scientists were to do a national study on this people group, they would quickly become deeply concerned and put this group on the endangered species list. It would become a federal law for you to be broken if you were to harm such a person or their offspring. There are so few of these people left that they would gather them up and put them in safe places so they could replenish the planet for a cause. So, what does a person who is thankful to the Lord look like? Now, I'm not going to tell you, but I sat in my office as I got to this point, Steve, in my message, and I went through my mind, and I said, okay, Lord, with the stipulations that I'm getting ready to give, how many church members do I have that meet these? And I could think of about 10. 10. Look around you. Think about who's not here. We all say, hey, I'm thankful. I'm thankful to the Lord. And listen, if you listen to your prayers, if I call on you, just about every person I've ever called on to dismiss us or introduce us and at the very beginning of the prayer, you'll hear people say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this day. But listen, are we truly thankful? I could think of about 10 people who meet this criteria, and I'm not calling their names. A thankful person, church, realizes everything God has done for them, realizes that God loves them even though they are not lovable. Are you lovable? But listen, it goes further. This now thankful person realizes that they are nothing. Well, that just knocks most of our knees out from under us because everybody in here thinks they're something or somebody. You've made it somewhere. I've done everything I have because of me. No, you don't. Everything you have because of God. God's blessed you. You're just a small cog in this big equation. But listen, it gets better. You realize that you're nothing without God, and they are willing to do anything they can
to show that very same love to others that has been shown to them. It does not matter who asks them. It doesn't matter who they are, where they came from, what color they are, how much they've got, how little they've got. They desire to show the love of Christ to the person asking anything of them. When you find this rare breed of a person, you'll instinctively see that these people exhibit some very strange attributes and where that are seen in our scripture this morning. Listen, people that are thankful to the Lord, understand what God is doing and what God continues to do to bless you, you'll see that these people exhibit what we saw in Scripture this morning. What does a person look like who has a thankful heart? Number one, they give of their time. They give of their time. Their time's not important to them. They don't weigh time. When they're asked to do something, time is not a factor. When it comes to looking at their watch or looking at God's glory, they're more interested in the glory of God than they are time. Now listen, I know we're all affected by time. And in the ministry, when you are in the ministry, whether you're a pastor or you are working in the ministry, one of the greatest words that you can ever realize and understand is the word no. Well, Brother Kyle, that kind of contradicts what you're saying this morning. I understand that. But if you're constantly going and going and going and going, you're of no use to God. I have to remind the woman on the front row that from time to time. Because she's constantly going and going and going and going. She'll come home and say, you know, so-and-so asked me to do so-and-so. What do you think I ought to do? No. Your plate's already full. It's overflowing. You can't do anything else. I can't tell you. Listen, I love my wife. I can't tell you the last time she cooked dinner. Because I'm cooking dinner. Hey, easy. Listen, it's okay to say no from time to time. It really is. But we need to understand that time is God's time. It's not our time, church. We live in the world. How many of y'all know whether you're going to make it out of the world alive today? Anybody? Anybody? Today could be your last day. Have you given God enough time in your life? I don't think so. Listen, I'm here every time the doors are open because I'm the pastor, but I still don't feel like I've given God all the time that I need to give Him. I really don't. I think I ought to give Him more time during my day, every single day. I think I ought to be a man of God like D.L. Moody, and before I lay my head down at night, ask myself, did I personally witness to a person today? And if I didn't, I ought to get up out of the bed and go do it. At least one person. Listen, you call yourself a child of God. You lift your hands in praise, and at the end of the day, you can't ask yourself, listen, did I personally witness to somebody today? We're talking about eternal possibilities here. We're talking about working for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we can't give God one person a day, just one. That's pretty sorry, isn't it? It really is. But a person who's thankful gives God their time. Number two, they give God their talents. It was baffling to me. It still is at times when I think about it. When I first came here, we had a choir, and we had people who sang specials. That's about it. Right, Steve? And God just put it on my heart, and I think He put it on several people. I know He put it on Steve's heart at the same time, and we met, and I said, listen, I want us to have a praise team. And Steve was like, me too. So I said, well, look, you know, you're the singer. I'll back you. I'll support you. I'll do anything. Let's make this happen. And within 2 or 3 months, we have a praise team. Church, listen, I've been to churches all over Savannah, we have got an unbelievable praise team. Amen? We really do. Amen. And as the praise team started to progress, you know, we started getting a couple guitar players. Like, whoa. I mean, I've been here for 2.5 years. Who knew that we had guitar players in here? And then we had a Bethune. Is it a Bethune? What's that thing called? Cajon. This is a Cajon right here. We had a Cajon player in here. And just a few months ago, we've got a bass guitarist here. And we've got a guitarist. I mean, look, where did it come from? People have talents. Now, as I've told many of y'all, I'm a semi-professional triangle player, and I'm waiting for the group to get big enough to where the triangle can be implemented into the praise, and I'll start playing my triangle. But listen, God has given you a talent. Are you using your talent and your ability for the glory of God? Listen, a thankful heart will do that. A thankful heart won't look at time. He won't look at anything. Listen, he'll look at wanting to produce, wanting to give his greatest ability to the Lord. You know, I don't think it's by chance that we have all these choir seats up here. I really don't. I think that God has called somebody to be singing that's sitting down. You have a gift. You have an ability to sing for the Lord. Why aren't you singing for the Lord? But a thankful heart does something else. A thankful heart gives of their possessions. Here he goes. He's going to preach on tithing. Well, I could, and I should, and I might. Listen, it doesn't belong to you. Listen, do you know that God asks for 10% of out of 100% of what you have? Just 10%. Do you realize that 100% belongs to him and not you? Well, hold on a second. I work. Listen, God gave you the ability to work. He gave you the health to work, the strength to work, the air to work. He's given you everything. Well, I can't afford it. Well, whose fault is that? You can't afford it because you've put yourself in a position that you can't afford it. So you're going to, listen, when it comes to robbing people, you're not going to rob the car dealership. And you're not going to rob the electric company. You're not going to rob the water company. You're not going to rob the mortgage company. You're going to rob God. That sounds real smart. It really does. Listen, let me just give you a heads up here. You're never going to have to stand before the president of the electric company and answer for what you're not giving them. You're not. You're not the house that you have mortgaged that you agreed to because you were so, listen, I can afford $12,000 a month. I can do it. And then the first month you come up, whoa, hold on, I can't do this. Well, you should have realized that before you signed the mortgage. You should have. Right? Dave Ramsey, 101. You're not going to have to stand in front of the president of the bank and say, look, you know, I can't do it. You're not going to have to stand at the city of Savannah and explain why your water bill's late. But listen to me. There is a 100% guarantee, 100%, no bones about it, you will stand before the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords, the Lord God Almighty, and give answer to why you robbed and stole from Him. You will. God, I just, you know, I didn't manage my money. Well, that's your fault. That's not his fault. Listen, you know, I wonder what would happen, and I'm not imposing this curse. I'm not. I wonder what would happen tonight or tomorrow if those who tithe their income, God blessed, and those who didn't this morning, those who knew you did not just tithe, you might have tipped, but you didn't tithe, that something happened to you and you got sick and you weren't able to go to work tomorrow. I wonder how many we'd have in church next week. I wonder. And if that happened, boy, I wonder what the offering would be next week. Oh God, hey, listen. Can y'all be at church Saturday? Because I want to come Saturday. I got to get my tithe in before we get there. Listen, I don't want to have that to happen again. Listen, you are going to stand before God for stealing from Him. You are. So listen, a thankful heart, a person who is truly thankful gives of their time, gives of their talents, gives of their possessions. Listen, David was a whiner through the majority of the book of Psalms. Oh God, you've brought me here and now you've left me. What are you going to do? But now we see in Psalm 114 or 117 or 107 last week, we see a different heart, a heart of giving. And then we see this morning in 1 Chronicles, did you see what David gave? He gave 100 tons of gold. He gave 250 tons of silver. Just gave it. Well, David was rich. He had to give it. Well, listen to me, church. What I have found, the more money you have, the less you actually give to God. Those people that I've known who, listen, they are just loaded. They tip God, but they don't give. I've told you. I had a guy in my church years ago. He told me, he said, God has blessed us. The company made over $1.3 million last year. I said, praise God. I went to my church treasurer, Steve, and I said, did anybody give last year $130,000? He liked to laugh my head off. Well, hold on, Brother Kyle. What do you say? $1.3 million. What's 10% of $1.3 million? $130,000. Did that guy tithe? No. Did he tip? Yeah, he gave generously, but he did not tithe. But there's something else. There's something else. We saw this morning in our scripture that when leadership started giving, others were compelled to give. When leadership talks about giving of your time and your talents and your possessions, and they see that you are not only, you know, you're not a talker, but you're a walker, that they start giving of their times and their talents and their abilities. It's almost like church giving is contagious to a thankful heart. Look at verse 9. Then the people rejoiced because of their leaders' willingness to give, for they had given to the Lord with a whole heart. King David also rejoice. Listen, David, the crier, is rejoicing now. Why was he rejoicing? Because he had just given. He had just given of his time and his talents and his abilities and his possessions. And he was now rejoicing. Church, do you know if you really look closely at the life of David, it almost seems like you see two different people. The first person you see is a person who is in survival mode. David never seems satisfied and complains about his circumstances, even when he put himself in those circumstances. Then you see another King David, who has just realized exactly how much God has blessed him, and in spite of everything he has done. And now he is willing to give all he has to God. Two different people. Seems like there's two different people, doesn't it? Church, I really do not think that there are any other parts to be thankful in this equation. We are either not satisfied with where we are and how God is blessing us, even if we have placed ourselves in our current situation, or we have come to realize that God has given us everything, and we are absolutely nothing without Him. We are willing to give anything and everything that His name is known. There's no two other ways. You're either not satisfied or you're completely satisfied and you want to make God known. Church, what type of person are you today? Can't answer for you. I can answer for myself. What type of person are you today? Do you weigh the cost before you give? Or do you give because you understand all God has given to you? Church, who do you want to be for the glory of God? A person who has a thankful heart and exhibits that? Or a person who says they have a thankful heart and it can't be seen? It can't be seen with a pair of binoculars. Who are you this morning? Who do you want to be? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Fathers, we're in the month of November, and we're looking at being thankful and thankfulness, Lord. I pray that right now, I'm not going to say anything else, but Lord, I pray that you would help us. Let the Holy Spirit search our hearts and show us who we really are during this time of invitation. Lord, this is your invitation. I pray that you would move. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? This altar is open for you. What kind of heart do you have? Do you truly have a thankful heart? Altar's open. Do you need to come?